Victoria. Well, good evening, everybody, and God bless you all. Thank you for calling in. It's a blessing to hear your voices and just see your names on there and remember things that were fun when we were together and we'll be together more and have more fun down the road, I'm sure. But I wanted to talk tonight about this time of the year. This time of the year is when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a time that we could be reflecting on what an amazing gift that God our Father would have sent his only begotten Son to be the pavement for our sins, to open the door for us to be reconciled back to God in a relationship like he had with Adam and Eve before they sinned, to realize how much he loves us and what he has done for us is a very important part of our relationship with God. John 3:16 is something that most of us know by heart, and it really is a time to reflect upon that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I also read verse 17 in that section. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know what? It costs God to give us his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And I have a son, and some of you have children, and it's so hard for my mind to comprehend him doing that. And yet, when I look at my son, I could see myself jumping in front of a car and pushing him out of the way in a moment of time. But God didn't do this in a moment of time. God saw it through. He thought about it. He dwelled upon it. And he made the decision to redeem man back when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden thousands of years ago. He had a plan all the way back then. And that is the kind of love he has for us. And this should be a time of great fun. I mean, we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us freely and willingly on the cross. And because of him, we are connected back to God and to him for eternity. And this should be a time of great celebration, laughter, joy, fun, peace, love. But you know what? For many people, this is the time of the year that is more stressful than any other time of the year. For many, it includes family discords. You know, Aunt Sarah's not talking to Aunt Susie, or Paul went away to the Bahamas because he didn't want to be with anybody, or just stuff like that, just worldly stuff that can get in the way. It also causes people to worry. You know, what do I get? Who do I get this person? What do I take to the dinner? I mean, it just piles. There's financial pressure. Even getting a gift for grandma can become a task instead of a joy. You know, how much money is it going to cost this year? All the prices are out the window. Gas is so high, I can't go over to Aunt Claire's and be with her. I mean, there's just all this pressure sometimes. And then the last straw of the ho-ho-ho time of the year happens when you realize you're looking for a gift for someone you're mad at and you really don't want to even buy them anything anyway. Whoa, hold it. This is not what God had in mind when he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And you know what? He sent him to die for us. But first, he sent him to live for us and to be an example to us. I want to look at Luke chapter 2. Go to Luke 2, verse 8. Now, we'll start there in verse 8. Now there were in the same county shepherds living out in the fields. And the county, the context of this is the birth of Jesus Christ, where Mary and Joseph went. And these shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, peace, not strife, not worry, not fear, not whoa, whoa, what am I going to do, but peace. God did this to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Peace is something that God has wanted for mankind since Adam and Eve were created. But peace was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. I mean, there are three types of peace talked about in God's Word. The Old Testament Hebrew is shalom, and that's a greeting. And that word in the Hebrew means the integrity and the life of the person that you're speaking shalom to. It's like it represents what quality of man you are. And that was how they greeted each other and said goodbye to each other in the Hebrew. And then in the Greek, there's two Greek words. One is E-I-R-E-N-E. It's called, I think you pronounce it, Irene. And the other Greek word is the verb form of this word, Irene. So both these words mean to reconcile, to be at peace, and to make peace. Now, reconcile is an important word here in this meaning. Remember, God created Adam, and he set Adam up. He made the Garden of Eden. He made the creatures, and he was a friend with Adam. He had asked Adam, what do you want to call this? And what do you want to call that one? And then when he did all that, he looked at Adam, and he looked at the garden, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he created a woman. God did everything freely. God did it because he loved Adam, and he loved Eve. And God commanded one thing, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Okay, that was a commandment. What did they do? They ate of the tree. She ate, then she talked him into eating of the tree. We know they did not die physically because they lived to have children, and, you know, now we're alive, and if they had died, there wouldn't be people on this earth. But they didn't die physically, but what died, what got lost, was that open connection to God. They could go and talk to God in the garden. Him and Adam had several conversations, if you look in Genesis. And after this happened, they had to approach God differently. They had to bring an offering of sacrifices. They had to do certain laws and rules to approach him anymore. That's what got lost. That's what died, was that spiritual connection with God that was freely given to us, that they, by being disobedient to the one thing God asked them not to do, lost it. But God has a plan. And he had a plan back then, like I said. And his plan was his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Psalm 29. This word peace, it means to reconcile and to be at peace and to make peace. That is the simple but literal meaning of the word we're going to look at tonight, peace. And the reconcile is the big part of this, because what happened in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that part that was broken between God and Adam got fixed between you and I because of Jesus Christ. That was the purpose he came, was to reconnect us with our Heavenly Father. And it says in Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So where does the peace come from? It doesn't come from our emotions. It doesn't come from situations. Peace comes from God. Now, we could be in a situation that's not fun. We could be in a situation that is unpleasant or even scary. But that doesn't mean that we don't have peace in our hearts to draw from. In fact, you're going to see that we do. Because that peace is what God gives his people. It's not something you or I did. It's what God did. Look at Isaiah 26:3. Here's another example of how God uses peace in our lives. We do have an active part in this, and you'll begin to see it as we look at some verses. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in you. God will keep us in perfect peace when we stay our minds, when we don't allow our emotions or our feelings to direct what we're going to think or do in any given situation. If our mind is stayed on him because we trust him, you know what? The peace is going to be there. And when you and I are in any kind of situation that has stressful parts to it or scary parts to it or just irritating parts to it, you know what? We don't have to respond to that with our emotions. We don't have to get mad at other people. We don't have to have everything go exactly the way you thought it was going to go or I thought it was going to go. We have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, living in us. It's all through the Bible. And the Lord God gave us that present, that gift. When I think of Christmas, I think of the gift God gave us first and foremost, and that was the life of his only begotten Son. And then I think of what Jesus Christ did and what he went through and how he dealt with people and how the world doesn't teach us to do that. The world is, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. God's not like that. If that's the way it was, there wouldn't have been human beings after Adam sinned. But that's not the way God is. And he's the God of love and peace. And he gives us that peace so that we can utilize it in our lives. He gives us that ability to love that way. We don't have to. And many times we fall short. Many times we fall short. But you know what? You recognize that and then you stop. And you don't allow yourself to fall short so many times in a day. And guess what? It gets further and further apart where you mess it up. And I'm not saying you mess it up like it's not fixable, because God always fixes us. But peace and love is something that God really wants us to manifest towards ourselves and towards each other. Look at Isaiah 26:12. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. Even in the Old Testament before Christ, God worked peace in his people's hearts. If they accepted that and they utilized that peace, that was a great relationship. If they didn't and wanted to do it in their own works, it always gets messed up when we do it in our own works. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if I find myself in a situation where I'm really confused, I don't get it, I don't understand why this is happening, what's going on, there's a level of stress that starts stirring up. And I have the opportunity, you have the opportunity, when you start seeing that happen, to go, no. No, I am going to allow the peace of God to rule, and God will show me the right answer. Because I'm going to tell you something, the more stressed out we get, the more confusing things are going to be, the harder it is to forgive, the harder it is to get a grip on things sometimes. We need that peace operating in our hearts so that our lives are quality like Jesus Christ died for them to be. Look at John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace. Guess who this is? Jesus Christ. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is our Lord and Savior, and He is telling us that His peace is in us. He gave it to us through God, Jesus Christ. It is in us. That is huge. If we could really just sit down and meditate on these scriptures, it's amazing how quickly that peace starts to work within your heart. My peace I give you, not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. The world doesn't understand peace, not the kind of peace we're talking about tonight. And then it says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart get all upset over stuff. Don't get, you know what, that just robs us of the joy and the fun in life and the things that bless us and bless other people. We don't have to stand for that. The adversary has no right to rob us of anything that Jesus Christ died for, not anything. Look at John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In who? In Jesus Christ. You may have peace. In the world, this world, you will have tribulation. Now he's being honest. In this world, you will have tribulations. Just because you have my peace doesn't mean the adversary is not going to attack. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now that's a promise in Jesus Christ. What an amazing God we have, that He and His Son have done the works that they have done to give us peace and joy and not to give in to tribulation and evil ways. We don't have to go there. We just don't. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I mean, this is a guarantee. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is real. The gain comes when the adversary tries to talk us out of that. Well, you can't be at peace. Well, you can't be nice and calm. Well, this is going to get them. If I say this, this will really make that person mad, and then they'll be really in turmoil. Yeah. Remember what it says? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thing he does most is he steals peace. He steals happiness. He steals kindness. He steals compassion. He steals forgiveness from our hearts. That's what he steals. Anything he can get. Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, these became fruits that are in my life. I can utilize peace. I can utilize long-suffering. I can utilize kindness, goodness. I can be a faithful person. I can be gentle. I can have self-control. And the devil can't take that stuff away from me, because it is given to me through the Spirit of God. It is a gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing when you stop and think about what peace really is in your life. In the world, it's where people don't fight with one another, right? In the world, it's where this guy stays out of this guy's property. But you know what? In the Word, that's not what peace is. Peace is these things we've been looking at. Look at Philippians 4. We'll be closing here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, being thankful, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Wow. God not only gives us peace, He not only gives us the other fruits of the Spirit, He's not only there for us in every moment of every day, and any time we reach up for help, He's there. And you know what? Not only all that, but he gave us a peace that surpasses understanding, which means I don't have to understand how it works. God says it works, therefore it works. And that peace will not only bring you peace, it will guard your heart. It will protect your heart and mind. When we think of those things about Christ Jesus and we think about those things that God has done for us and we reach out and ask God for help when we need help, that guarding peace of our hearts protects us until we get to that point where we do that. I mean, this is it's really an amazing thing, peace. It's a lot more than I probably understood until I started looking at it a little deeper. It's something that is a guarantee, and nobody can take that away from us. If we choose not to be peaceful, that's on us, because the peace is there. Once you're born again in God's Spirit, it's available to you all the time, 24/7. And sometimes we get talked out of it, but when that happens, let's just realize that and get back on the road here. You know, we all take exits. We all struggle and go through hard times. And going through the hard times is when we really need that peace to spring forth from our hearts and lives. So, you know, we love her, and God gave us this great peace, and he gave us this knowledge, and he put us in a family so that we can help one another in situations where people need help and be joyful where there's joyful times to be joyful with. So don't ever think you're alone in any situation or any circumstance, because number one, you have God and you have Jesus Christ and you have us as a family of God. And if you can't go to the family of God, where can you go? You know? But God has made us to be there for one another. So let's really let that peace of God rule in our hearts so that we're there when someone reaches out to us. So God bless you guys. Love you.